Welcome to the Canadian Basketball Show, your go-to spot for the latest news, stories, and analysis on Canadian basketball. I'm your host, Lee Ban Osman. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada, the city that never sleeps, covering the NBA Summer League. I've been here since Wednesday night, way too many days in Vegas, but nonetheless, it's been a fun time. I've been covering the Raptors, following the Canadians playing in Summer League, and I'm not going to lie to you, not as many Canadians in Summer League as the last few years. This is my third straight year, and it's probably the least amount of Canadians in Summer League. I usually have a list of guys and games I'd be checking out, but not as crazy as before. But one guy that's at Summer League is Montreal's own Jameel Telfer. And the guest this week on the Canadian Basketball Show, he just wrapped up a stellar college basketball career at Butler and signed an Exhibit 10 deal with the Los Angeles Clippers. I got the chance to sit down with Jameel. A long time coming, to be honest. An interview I'm really excited for you to hear. We were actually supposed to do a podcast back in June when he was working out for the Toronto Raptors. It was probably like early June, I believe, during his pre-draft process. But he got into the city late and schedule just changed. So we weren't able to make it happen, but determined by his team to actually make it happen in Vegas. So shout out to his people. Just excited for you guys to listen to this. I say this all the time. Like, this is probably my favorite interview. Like, I say this every single time when I have a player like this on. But Jameel is just a fun guy to chat with, loves basketball. And I really think you'll be able to hear that in this interview. There's a few like really big Canadian basketball people that are actually right into this week. A longtime coach, I won't name drop. Actually, I'll give you a pretty good hint. Former head coach of the Raptors. I won't name them, but you kind of guess who it is. They held a nice little get together for a bunch of Canadian basketball people. I actually didn't hear about it until like it was ending, but I got there a bit late. Shout out to my guy, New Abdi, man. He plugged me in, so I was able to get out there and chat with some people, chat with some potential guests, people that have been eager to get on. And I really think after Vegas, like, a lot of stuff is going to ramp up. I'm heading actually to Augusta, Georgia for Peach Jam, Nike UIBL, the finals. I went there last year, had a really good time just getting to know the top talent coming up. And I think it might be a yearly trip for me. It's a really good event just to get the grasp and understand like who is the next star coming out of Canada. And Nike is honestly the spot where I feel like a lot of the top Canadian guys play. After that, I'll be heading back to the city, heading back to Toronto, and a bunch of guests lined up. It's crazy. Like, I kind of expect this summer to be busy, especially with the FIBA tournaments, FIBA AmeriCup coming up, Global Jam coming up. We have a lot of stuff, a plan. I'm excited just to like gather with my team and come up with a plan in terms of coverage for that. And I hope like we'll be the go-to spot for that kind of stuff and getting interviews, talking to players, coaches, and maybe doing recaps. I don't know. We'll see. But I always say, like, tap in with us, man. Tap in with us on all social media, Twitter, at the CBS Pod, TikTok, Canadian Basketball Show, and Instagram, which is honestly, I feel like, our biggest home. That's by far, like, we have, I think, over 1,500 followers on there. Actually, TikTok's probably more, but, like, TikTok's reach is different. Like, you can't really interact, you know what I'm saying? Instagram, I get a lot of DMs. We chat with people. Definitely recommend checking us out there. That's where you'll see the most updates on the show. But yeah, like I said, Summer League has been fun. I got to check in on Ryan Nemhard. Had a really stellar Summer League debut. Stealing the show in a game that was supposed to be all about Bronny James versus Cooper Flagg. And I actually wrote a story in the Toronto Star that details how he ended up in Dallas signing a two-way, kind of taking the Fred VanVleet route on betting on himself. And definitely recommend checking out that story. A lot of details on his pre-draft process. And he was at a steakhouse watching the draft with family and friends. And I'll probably have another story coming out, Canadian type of angle, Raptors related, out on Summer League. So check that out. I want to give a quick shout out to the Pesh Mystery. He's coaching at Summer League, a Canadian guy, former Ryerson TMU grad, coaching with the Sacramento Kings. I didn't get a chance to chat with him, but I think that's huge. He's doing big, big things. So shout out to the Pesh Mystery. Hopefully a guest on the podcast in the future. We'll see. I got to actually catch up with our first guest on this podcast when we launched, Keyshawn George. Keyshawn, man, just always a pleasure chatting with him, his people, his family, I think, is in Montreal right now. So they weren't out here, but Keyshawn always taking the time just to chat. Really appreciate him. And I expect him to play with Canada this summer, to be honest, the FIBA America. But we'll see. You don't know. Things can change. Schedule can change. Workout plans could change. He was just at the FIBA U19 in Switzerland watching the men's. So he was doing some stuff there. So, yeah, shout out to Keyshawn, man. I'm excited. Like, honestly, the Wizards are going to be my second team to watch outside the Raptors with Will Riley there and Keyshawn now. And like I said, you guys know I've been covering Will Riley heavily during the pre-draft process. He had a really good second game at Summer League, 16 points, 5-6 shooting. And once Will adds the muscle to his body, it's going to look scary out there for people, man. The scoring, the touch is there. So, yeah, excited to watch Will's development and the Wizards. The Wizards will be my league pass team. They will definitely be. Especially they got, like, Trey Johnson. They got the Alex R, Bub Carrington, man. That team is going to be a fun team. And, yeah, Summer League as a whole, like, I've just really enjoyed. Like I said, it's my third time. So many stories that probably can't go on the record. And we'll stay in Vegas, but it's been amazing. And yeah, I'm wrapping up here, but I'm excited to bring you that interview with Jamil Telfer. I say this all the time, but he had a lot of good stories that I'm like really excited to for you guys to listen to. Stories about Ben Mathurin, how they grew up together, and how competitive a guy he is, and his journey through basketball, and talk about tennis. He's a tennis guy at first. Kind of shocked me, and then played some volleyball, and then ended up on basketball. And yeah, 8 siblings, Jamil Telfer. We have very, very fun chat with him, and excited just to follow his journey. Obviously, signed Exhibit 10 deal with the Clippers, but yeah, those guys. Leonard Miller, like I don't know if I said, he's out here at Summer League. Emmanuel Miller, he didn't play in the first game. We got to see how he plays in Summer League if he's hurt or not, but. Tyrese Samuel, Brooklyn Nets, didn't get to play in the first few games at Summer League, but probably will get some run later down the line. Someone that I'm hoping we can get on the podcast soon. I feel like he's been making a lot of noise in the CEBL. And yeah, let me know also, you guys, like what topics. I feel like a lot of times I get some emails about certain guests, certain topics, that kind of stuff. People will DM me all the time, but it'll be good if we get a bunch of emails. I feel like the emails will be great to get. And yeah, I'm going to stop yapping and bring you that interview with Jamil Telfer. And this has been a wrap. Vegas Summer League, man. Enjoy that interview with Jamil. Welcome back to the Canadian Basketball Show. I'm joined by a special guest. Was one of the top Canadian basketball players in college this past year and is now beginning his pro career playing in Summer League with the Los Angeles Clippers, Montreal's own Jamil Telfer. My brother, how you doing?
Appreciate you, bro. That's a great introduction right there. I like it. Appreciate you, though. How are you?
Appreciate it, man. I'm good, man. Vegas is it's a city, man. How's Vegas treating you?
Vegas is hot right now. It's I do Celsius. Like, I know Americans around here, they do Fahrenheit. Every time I talk about, like, oh, it's like 30 or 40, they're like, what does that mean? But 42, 43 Celsius is crazy. Like,
have you been here before?
Nah, yeah, I've been actually to Vegas in April because we had the Crown tournament.
Yeah.
I didn't end up playing, but we had that tournament. So I was there maybe for like a week. Nice. Had a good time. Good time, you know.
Weather better than this, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, for sure. It was probably like in the mid-20s to like high 20s, really. It wasn't that bad. But right now, this is crazy.
Yeah, you're one of my favorite players to watch, I feel like, this past season, college basketball. Very underrated season, I feel like, at Butler. Signed with the Clippers right after the draft. What's that been like? Just tell me about that.
This whole journey process to me has been... I mean, it's just like a learning curve. Like, it's been amazing, you know, just having the opportunity to work out with all these NBA teams, like learning about like the NBA and like just being a professional. To me, I just kind of see it as an opportunity to get better. So, yeah.
Yeah, going through the pre-draft process. Second time, last time you went back to college. What was that like? How many teams you end up working out for?
Like total in 2 years?
Let's do this year. Tell me the total. This year, how much?
This year? Ooh.
How many teams?
I did Detroit, Toronto.
Was it up in the 20s? No, it wasn't in the 20s.
No, it wasn't in the 20s. It was like 10 maybe. Detroit, Toronto, Utah, Washington.
A ton of teams, huh?
Yeah.
The Clippers too, huh? I'm guessing.
I was supposed to do the Clippers.
Oh, okay, interesting.
I was supposed to do the Clippers in May.
Yeah.
I think it was actually right before the combine, but I was hurt. I went to Portsmouth and I got hurt. So I missed like those first like 2 weeks. So we kind of like had to like chill a little bit.
Yeah.
So then we had reschedule for another date. And that day got like, we had to reschedule again. And then on the 21st, and then a couple guys that was supposed to be in that last workout, I heard kind of had to like cancel or reschedule and they just canceled it. So I worked out for them last year, but this year I didn't work out for the Clippers. So I had no idea I was going to end up there.
Yeah. How many teams you work out last cycle?
Last year, four, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
What was the biggest thing maybe you learned from last year that helped you maybe in this cycle?
I feel like I was more comfortable this year because I just knew what was it about. Like, I knew every workout. Like, all right, like, I know what we're going to do. I know the hard workouts. I know the ones that, like, you're, like, hooping. Like, it's just, like, more of, like, a comfortable thing because I always feel like I knew how to hoop. So it's just, like to me, it's like, all right, like, I know what's about to happen. I'll be fine.
You talk about hard workouts. You mentioned Utah. I hear a lot of stuff about Utah, but what was your craziest workout?
Ooh, craziest work. Utah is up there.
Yeah.
It wouldn't say, it's like top three. Utah's top three. Denver to me was the craziest.
Oh, the altitude killed you, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was hooping in that workout.
Yeah.
And I got tired and I pride myself of like being in shape. Like, I don't get tired, but I remember getting tired in that workout and I was like, oh, like, this is real. Like, I kept telling the assistant coaches, I'm like, yo, like, I see what y'all talking about. This is real right
it's
there.
It's different up here.
Yeah. But from everyone though, Memphis is the hardest workout.
Yeah.
And I ended up working out for Memphis, like, I think it was like the day of like game six of the NBA Finals. I was about to go to the game and my agent calls me and is like, yo, we had in Memphis, you got to leave today. And I was working out, like, it was like 7:50 in the morning. And I was like, damn. And I already knew about Memphis. I was just coming back from Denver. I was working out, getting some shots up in the morning. And I was like, damn, I got to go to Memphis. And I had heard about Memphis. I was like kind of nervous. And then I got there and I was like, yeah, it's a lot of running. And it's, you know, like those guys, they like, you know, do a good job with their workout. But I was like, yeah, it's you're fine. Like, you're just competing.
What's been your favorite part about the pre-draft process, like going through it all? Because I find it like fascinating. I always say this. I always just find it fascinating. You're working out with a ton of teams. They're getting to know you. And it's like an interview process. And then you're also like trying to obviously impress them, right?
Yeah. I mean, to me, the funnest part really is just like traveling to all these different cities and seeing all these like different facilities, how these like front offices work. And just, you know, like seeing all the different cities. Because like once you get to hooping, it's, to me, it's just, all right, let's start hooping. You know, like I'm not really like shook by that, I would say. But for sure, the favorite part was just like getting into a city and getting a chance to, you know, walk around. And like I remember in Charlotte, I was like, damn, like Charlotte is a beautiful city. Like, you know,
I've never heard that.
Charlotte is that's a pretty good, cool city, man. That's underrated for sure. But like just, you know, getting a chance to like, get to all those NBA cities was pretty cool.
What was Toronto like, that workout?
That Toronto workout? It was pretty cool.
Coming home and, being in Canada.
That was, my man Ryan was in there too. So that was pretty cool to have like, you know, a guy from Canada, a guy that I know in a workout. And, you know, like I know some people in the front office and on the coaching staff down there. So like, it was easy for them to make it comfortable and it was just, you know, great workout.
Yeah. For people, like obviously I know your game, but for people that don't, what's your scouting report for Jamil Tilfer?
Versatile guy, you know, can do a lot of things, can rebound, dribble, and push, pass it, you know, can get to the paint, you know, can make shots, defends at a high level, you know, just versatile guy that can do everything on the court for sure.
Yeah, I kind of describe you as like a dog, you know, Montreal. I feel like Montreal breeds like these type of Lou Dortz, Ben Mathurins of the world. NBA Finals, We just watched it. Yeah. Two guys from Montreal doing it. What was it like watching those guys battle as a guy that's from there?
I mean, it was amazing, actually. I was like, shout out to those guys. Like, I remember, like, just like, I played with, like, obviously, I played with those guys, like, growing up. We was like Park X, mostly with Ben. But, like, just, like, seeing them, like, now, like, on the, like, highest, like, stage in, like, basketball world, like, to me, that was just, like, amazing. And just, like, shout out to, like, them, like, their families. Like, you know, it was just, it was amazing. Yeah, for sure.
I was going to ask, how well did you know them? And you know them, and you said you played with Ben?
Mm-hmm. Ben, I played with Ben since I was, like, I think, like, 14, every year since I was, like, 14. And Lou, I never, actually, I played, I think, like, a couple games in a summer, like, a summer league with Lou. But I was, like, 14, actually. But other than that, like, Lou would just come back and, like, work out. And, you know, and he would work out with us a little bit. And then I went to Northeastern, and, like, I would come back. And that's when he was, like, in his, like, first few years with the Thunder, and we would work out. Because his, I know, like, his trainer used to be my coach, like, Fez from Toronto, actually. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, like, even this past summer, we worked out a little bit. You know, I still want to get back from that, but.
Ooh, hey, so he won.
he got me that time. He got me that time.
We got to set it up.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of Ben Mathurin stories. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy, ultimate competitor.
Yeah.
Well, what's your favorite, like, maybe Ben Mathurin story of him, maybe? I seen a video of him going crazy. Yeah. Elijah Arenas, his son.
I got some stories for you for sure. Like, one is Ben used to, when we played at Park X, Ben will come to me every day, would be like, Jamil, I will dunk on you and I will windmill in between the legs by the end of the summer. And he's like a year younger than me. So, like, at the time I was maybe like 15 and he was like 14, right? And I kept telling him, like, yo, I don't, like stop it, bro. Like I don't want to hear that. Like,
yeah.
And you'll see it. If you, like, I mean, he might have it on his Instagram, but, like, the end of that summer, he posted a video. I wasn't there that day. He posted a video where he took off and went between the legs. And I was like, wow, dude couldn't even dunk, like, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
How can he go from, like, not dunking to straight between? I was like, yeah, this guy. Anything that he puts his mind to, like, he could definitely do it. That's when I knew he was different, for sure.
I'm guessing you saw it early, huh?
Yeah, yeah. He was really competitive. Every practice was really competitive. I mean, Nelson also made sure that it was, Nelson was our coach back at Park X, and he also made sure that everything was, like, mentally challenging, mostly, and it was really competitive. That's the kind of stuff he was, like, trying to get out of us, so, yeah.
Play with Brookwood Elite. What was that like? Who's the guys you played with? Let me hear some names. And what was that experience like, AAU? I feel like Brookwood is one of the top programs there is.
I played 17s the first year. I wasn't really playing that much. On that team was Quincy Guerrier, Kareem Main, Keyshawn Barthelemy. McCorm Maker was on that team. He was hooping, him and Quincy, and Kareem Blue. Kind of had a really good summer, like, blew off, like, that next summer with Canada Elite, but it was a pretty good team, I would say. But the next year, it was, like, me, Keyshawn again, Omax, Prosper, and Ben Mathurin. And that's, like, we had a pretty good summer. Like,
that's
we
a good
beat,
team.
We beat some pretty good teams. I remember, like, Ben had a game winner, actually, against Compton Magic and Evan Mobley, Jalen Clark, all those guys, Don Terry. It was a pretty cool game for sure.
You got to answer this question for me. Who's better in basketball, Ontario or Montreal?
Montreal.
Well, explain it, man. I don't know, man.
Montreal.
I'll say this. You guys are, the gap is closing.
I'm biased, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm definitely biased. But to me, Montreal it's just some dogs. Like, we just breed them dogs for sure. Like, back against the wall, it's what we do. You know, but shout out to Ontario too, though. They got some guys, like, obviously, like, the Nembards, Shea, RJ, like, Dylan Brooks, all those guys, like, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, what's Poutine spot? Montreal, man. We talked about it a bit. You told me you didn't have some spots for me. I go to Le Banquis all the time, but I feel like that's very generic. Any spots, maybe not even Poutine, what's your favorite, like, go to spot? Or, like, in Montreal that's maybe
Montreal?
Hitting. Yeah.
What's it? Actually, lately it's been a duo de chef.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in Rivière de Paris.
Yeah.
It's like a little like Haitian kind of spot, like kinda. I mess with that. That's pretty cool.
Are you Haitian?
Yeah.
It's crazy because you, Lou Dort, Omax, Ben Mathurin, yeah, all have the Haitian background. Is it crazy just to see like the impact? I feel like you guys are like, it's the next wave of talent, but also just like the Haitian wave in Canada. What's it been like seeing that?
I mean, it's definitely a good thing in my opinion. You know, like there's obviously a big Haitian like culture and like a lot of Haitian people back in Montreal because of like, you know, like the French language and just like that kind of like translation into like the Creole and all of it. But, you know, to me, just seeing all those guys like obviously succeeding, like it's just amazing for like Haiti and just like the Haitian culture and just, you know, we're just trying to make it proud for sure.
Yeah. I want to go through your whole journey just in basketball. Tell me how did you get into the game? What was the first love?
My brothers.
Yeah.
My brothers.
I read you had like how many siblings?
Eight.
Eight. What was that household like?
Man, it was not a lot of food because everyone would just eat it. And
y'all had to fight for that.
But yeah, no, we definitely had to. It was definitely even like on the court. Like I really started to play because like my brothers was playing, right? My older brothers all were in track at first, and then we moved out and they started hooping. And yeah, my brothers would have me and my brother Jacob, who's like a year older than me, he would have us like outside and like practice that Darren Williams kind of cross. It's like, yo, y'all gotta like do it like Darren Williams. And, you know, I would just keep on going outside and he'll have us play ones and my brother Jacob would beat me every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never beat him till I actually got taller than him. And then I was just like, all right, like, you can't mess with me now. But I couldn't, like, when I was a kid, I couldn't beat him.
What's the rankings? I want to hear it. If they're listening to this podcast.
Right now?
What's the ranking? Siblings? Who?
It doesn't matter. I'm first.
Is Jacob second?
Nah. My younger brother, Josh, might be second. He was at JUCO this past year. And my brother, Jordison, also played JUCO. You know, but.
So it's tough for Jacob.
Yeah. It's tough for Jacob. I got another brother, Jordan, that plays at RSRQ in like Montreal, Concordia.
Yeah.
So he plays over there. And then my oldest brothers, Jonathan and Josh and Josue, they don't hoop no more. But all that matters is that I'm first. And that's all they need to know.
Damn, you guys have like a whole run, man. You guys, when was the last time y'all played?
Oh, my two older brothers, actually Jonathan doesn't hoop no more. But damn, that's a good question. I don't even know. Maybe this past summer?
Yeah. Probably not serious or? You hitting every shot, huh?
I can't remember. I was supposed to hoop actually like just like this a couple weeks ago with them.
Yeah.
But I was like working out for pre-draft. And that was actually the day of the draft. I was like working out. Like the second day of the draft, I was working out and they all like went out to hoop. And I was just like, nah, like I gotta like, you know, take these calls, like agent. Like I gotta make sure like I know what's going on, like where I'm going, like, you know, if I get drafted or not, like all that kind of stuff. But we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Where were you at on draft night? Montreal?
At Montreal, yeah.
What was that like?
I was actually in a gym. Yeah. So I didn't even watch it.
Yeah.
I didn't even watch the second round. I told my agent, I'm like, yo, I'm going to have my phone on. Call me if anything. But like, I'm probably not going to watch it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't, like, I kind of want that surprise in terms of like, but my parents was all at home watching it. And man, we kind of like knew like what we wanted in terms of like, okay, like the teams that was like really looking at me and just where I wanted to end up. And it was just like, okay, like those are going to be your options. Like we're going to see what happens in the second round and just, you know, like put you in the best situation possible.
Tell me about that. What were you looking for in terms of a fit for a team? And why did the Clippers meet those?
I think that the Clippers play a type of basketball where it's just like a lot of versatility, you know, and I feel like I fit in that way because that's who I am as a player, right? Like I can do a lot of different things, you know, like I can like complement like a lot of like star players, a lot of scorers, you know, I can score too, but I can defend, I can dribble, I can pass, you know, and rebound. So it's just the Clippers kind of fit that mold of basketball.
Mm-hmm. Was there a moment where you're like, yeah, I'm gonna pursue basketball as a career?
Yeah, I would say around like eighth grade, I kind of made that decision because I played tennis for a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah, I played tennis for a little bit.
What's that guy's name? Are you
I'm a Roger Federer fan.
Okay.
Yeah, go.
Yeah?
I don't want to hear about Nadal, Djokovic. I'm a Roger Federer guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happened with tennis, man?
To be honest, like my mom put me and my sister like through camp and like I used to watch tennis. Like I always watched tennis when I was like when we was kids, like always watch. And then our church actually like got us like a way into like that camp. So like I would go and stuff. But like I remember actually they had me played up. Like I would play up.
Yeah.
And like I was like beating everyone. And then we did like a tournament, like a playoff tournament. And I lost and I was sick.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was just like, you know what? Like, let's do something else.
Damn, we could have seen you at the Canadian Open, man.
Yeah, we could have. But, you know, maybe you still can. I could still get, you know, do a little something out there. But, yeah, after that, I played a little bit of volleyball. And, I really started to lock in around like eighth grade. I was like, all right, like, I'm trying to hoop for real. That's when I went to actually, like, the next year, I went to Park X. So,
yeah. Tell me about Park X.
Ooh, that was definitely. To me, like the biggest, like one of the most like challenging, I guess, like moments in my life. But like, they made like the biggest impact for me as a player because they really challenge you mentally. It's not really about like basketball and like, you know, like, all right, we're going to work you out. Like, obviously you work out every day over there, but it's not about like, oh, we're going to work you out. You're going to be a better shooter. It's all about like mentally. We want to put you on an advantage basically. So I think that over there, they do a really, really good job at that, for sure.
Who else went there?
I went there. Benedict Mathurin went there. Lugan Stewart went there. And then, like, older guys like Kimmy Osei, Kenny Sherry, Fred Zure. My bad for all the guys. I'm, like, forgetting. But, those are guys.
Good list.
Yeah.
Tell me about after high school.
Mm-hmm.
What was your recruitment like?
Like after high school, because I went
college schools. Like, what was that? Once you're about to enter college, basketball, what was your recruitment like?
So,
was there something I'm missing in between?
Like, I went to Thornley Prep, in between, and then from Thornley, I ended up Thornley in Toronto. I ended up playing in New Hampton School in New Hampshire in the NEPSAC League, and then really COVID, and like at the end of the season, like we ended up winning the championship. And at the end of the season, COVID happened. And I was waiting to do all my visits after the season. And right when like COVID happened, to be honest, I tried to commit to Bradley.
Yeah.
And like, they called me and it was like, yo, like we just gave our last scholarship like 2 days ago.
Damn.
Yeah. And they was waiting for me the whole year. Like I had told them in November that like, I'm gonna just wait it out. And there was gonna be, they was like, all right, we're gonna wait for you. And then when I tried to like be like, I want to go there. And it was like, let's see if we can find a way to get you there because we don't have any scholarship anymore. And then I kind of also connected with the Northeastern staff.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? That's kind of like a staff that like I really like trust. And I knew some of the players. They had Canadian players like Coleman Stuka, Kachin Wanga. And I knew Tyson Walker too already from New Hampton because he used to go there. So I was like, you know, to me, that's the best decision for sure.
What was Northeastern like? And what was them like in terms of like scouting you and like wanting you?
To them, it was all about like me, again, a versatile player that can do a lot of things, you know. They was like, we want to put you on the ball, off the ball. We want you to like rebound, defend. Like you could do everything. So we want you to do all that. So to them, it was all about development. And I feel like I had the chance to do that with them.
Well, how would you describe your 3 years, right?
Yeah, I did 3 years, yeah.
How would you describe it there?
A lot of growth, I would say. A lot of growth. I would say I had a pretty good, freshman year. I wasn't as good my sophomore year. So I really went into that summer, like from my sophomore year to my junior year, like really like working in terms of like having a better year my junior year. And then I had a pretty good year my junior year. And it was like, you know, like I want to do that against the high major competition, so it kind of led me into Butler.
What's that work look like, especially talking about first year, not doing much, but then, well, like, what's the work look like in the summer for you to get to that level where now you're going to Butler?
Yeah, it's all about consistency, really. Like, every day, like, get it in, like, get your work in, you know, like, make sure you work on, like, stuff that, yes, you're doing games, work on a couple weaknesses, and, you know, just keep honing your skills, you know, honing your craft, and keep getting better. So that's what I try to do every summer.
Yeah, the first time I watched you play was Global Jam, and I was like, I need to put this guy on my radar. I need to start watching more of his game, especially going to Butler.
Yeah.
What was Global Jam like for you? What do you remember about that summer?
Damn, Global Jam, that was a great experience too, actually. It was interesting because, like, you know, you get, like, such, like, a short amount of time with, like, the guys that you're with. So it's, like, not a lot of chemistry, but I feel like as a team, like, we were, like, really bonded. And we had a great coaching staff. Like, shout out to, like, Nate Mitchell. Like, that's my guy. Like,
I saw him out here in Vegas.
Got a lot of love for Nate, man. He's he really cares about, like his players. So we had a great coaching staff. And it was also, like, all about us, like, getting better. Like, they made sure, like, hey, like, we want to also, like, for you to, like, keep developing. And it was pretty good about that, too.
Yeah, it's cool to see a lot of those guys from that team here. Tell me about so once you get to Butler, what's that like? I seen Greg Oden was on staff with that team.
Yeah, too. Shout out Gio. Yeah, I mean, Butler was more like, I had to, like, really feel an adjustment, like, throughout, like, Big East play, right? At first, my game, like, I'm like a really physical player, I would say.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, I, like, kind of do a lot of things. So it wasn't that big of an adjustment till we got to, like, early Big East play. And then I can, like, see, like, teams would, like, kind of, like, scout you a little bit and then just, like, play you a little bit more to your weaknesses. And that's when I really, like, felt like, okay, like, this is a little bit different. Like, this is the Big East. So you kind of have to, like, adjust to that, you know. But shout out to, like, our coaching staff, like, you know, Greg Oden, like, John Diebler, Coach Pegues, Alex Barlow, Coach Mojo, actually, was actually from Montreal. Like, those guys did a pretty good job to, like, you know, like, help me. Or navigate through that.
How would you describe the Big East Conference? I feel like it's underrated.
Tough. I mean, that first year, I remember we had a stretch where we was actually, like, hooping.
Yeah.
We had beat Creighton at Creighton. And I had a pretty good game over there. It was a crazy game. Like, ended up, like, 99 to, like, 98. I had a really good game. And then the next game, we was at UConn. And Creighton at the time was, like, I think top, like, maybe 15, really, top 10 or 15. And then the next game, we was at UConn, who was number one in the country.
Back-to-back
ended
champs.
Up losing, you know, a close one. And then the next time, we're at Marquette, who was a top 5 team in the country. You know, it's just, the Big East, it just keeps coming, like, top teams after top teams. So it's just, like, it's a grind for sure. But, you know, you got to love it. And this is what you want as a player. You want the competition. You want to go at these guys and... For sure, yeah. This, I feel like that's what we did.
Yeah. What did you learn about yourself during your time at Butler? What was that whole experience like?
I think it was more so about me being more vocal and being more of a leader, really. Because Coach Mata kind of, like, recruited me to be in that mode. So to me, I feel like that's kind of, like, what I came out of Butler, like, with, like, the most, like, in terms of, like, all right, you need to, like, talk more, like, lead more and just be yourself.
Are you a quiet guy? Because I feel like this interview, I'm like, you're not quiet.
I could be quiet. I could be quiet. It's, you know, if I mess with you, that's what I was telling you. If I mess with you, I rap with you. But
okay.
Other than that,
come on.
I usually be, I'm not, like, trying to, like, go out of my way to, you know, like, talk to people.
Yeah. Toughest player you had to guard in college. Is there anybody that you think of, like, yo, we were battling, like, me and him we were going at it?
Toughest player?
I'm like, I don't know if you want to give your flowers today, you know? Like,
I really don't. I really don't. You know, there was some pretty good players. I mean, Evan Carter was pretty, he was good.
Yeah.
He was good. Alex Caribbean was good too.
Yeah. Long, he had a long career, man.
Yeah. You know, a sneaky one, and I hate to do this too, a sneaky one was Desmond Claude.
Okay. Where's he playing?
And at? Michael Peavy, actually.
Michael Peavy. Where's Desmond, for people that don't know?
He played at Xavier the year that, like, he was in the Big East, and this past year he was at USC, and I think he's out in Washington now. You know, like, we actually ended up being cool, but
yeah,
he always gave me, like, some good buckets. So I'll give it to him.
Are you, like, a trash talker? Are you, like, if someone starts yapping, or are you started first?
Nah, I don't really start. I mean, it depends. Like, you know how this game goes, but, like,
yeah.
I don't really start at first, though. Like, if I see you on that type of time, like I'm going to show you, like, yo, like, I could do this too now. Like, you know, I'll talk back to you, like. But I don't, you know, I just hoop too, like.
Yeah. NIL, I want to talk about this. I feel like it's just starting to get big. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's just starting to get big when you're in college. Now it's gotten crazier.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? And I just see like a 1,000 players just entered the portal.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane to me. What was that like for you? And like, what was it like seeing just like NIL and, well, and the way people are entering the portal?
I didn't have we didn't have NIL at Northeastern.
Yeah.
Right. Once I got to Butler, like, that first year, like, you know, like, that's when we started like do a little bit.
Yeah, you don't have to get into it.
The next year, me going into the pre-draft, like, all that stuff, like, and just me staying at Butler also, like, played a part in that. But, like, I never really had to, like, deal with NIL like that. Yeah. It was more so, like, all right, like, who's coming in? And then people want to, like, come in for a certain amount of money, and it's just like, like, okay. So, to be honest, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that, like, because, like, it's getting like crazy, but at the same time, I feel like as players, like, they deserve it for sure. Like, go get your paper.
Yeah, you think it's like there's been a lot of conversations about like contracts should mm-hmm. be implemented. What are your thoughts on that? And like, do you feel like, because I don't know, some players I feel like will enter it just to enter. You know what I'm saying? Like, 1,000 is insane. I feel like, but what are your thoughts on just like how to like maybe fix it or just like. Hey, I heard like bench players now getting paid 500K plus.
As I could see both sides of it, right? Like, I kind of see, like, to me as a player, like, if I don't play and I demand a lot of money, like to me, it's kind of like, now, like, I need to put that work in first, you know? But at the same time, some players, like, they didn't get a chance to play, you know, because they had guys in front of them and they're pretty good. And it's like, they got to take care of their families. So I kind of like see both sides in terms of like, you know, like, I don't know if like you should treat it like a professional league only because like you still got to like go to like the school and stuff. Like, you still got to like do school. So it's not like you're really a pro. Yeah. So yeah, that question beats me. Like, I see both sides for sure. Yeah.
Were schools trying to like call you, poach you? What was that like for you? You don't have to get into it if you don't want
to. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. You got to put the politics of it.
they'll do a little something. You know, then they're not going to go directly to through you, though. They'll, like,
talk to your people.
Yeah, they'll talk to you.
How would you sum up your college career, just looking at it now? Just, I feel like it maybe had some times in the last few months just to look at it and how it all ended. How would you sum up your college
career? Damn, that's a good question. I don't know, really. I haven't actually had a chance because, like, you know, like, you also, like, focus on the next thing. Like, you know, you do, like, all right, like, Portsmouth and pre-draft and, you know, then summer league. That's a good question. I don't know. It might take a few weeks and just reflect on that for sure after summer league.
Yeah, I'm just looking at your stats, like 16 points a game, 4.7 rebounds, 3.4 assists. Man, I feel like it's not talked about. I feel like you should get your flowers just in terms of the run that you had, especially at Butler, too. I'll be honest. Some games are hard to watch, and I only watched for you.
Yeah.
But it was okay. You did your thing.
It's tough, man. Like, I feel like winning is such.
It's so hard in this college.
It's hard. It's a big, obviously a big. To me, it's everything. Like, it's a big component, but to me, like, winning is everything, and like losing games like was like really bothersome for me. Like, it was like, it was itching for sure. Like, I was like, damn, like what else can I do? And like.
You did your thing, though. I feel like if anybody watched you this past season, saw like you're a bright spot with that Butler team. But going back to the pre-draft process, talk me through it. When did it all start? For people that don't know, and what's the last like few months been like?
Like, when did it all start? This year or did it pass?
This year.
This year? This year started for me after Portsmouth. Like, a little different. Like, last year, I started as soon as, like, the season was over. Like, I did, like, the whole month of April and, like, the whole month of May, basically, and then went back to school. This year, I had to, like, we had, like, the Crown Tournament in Vegas, actually, here in Vegas, around, like, I think, like, we left maybe April 6th. Yeah. Can't remember, really. But, like, after that, like, went straight to Portsmouth, Virginia, and then really... That was, like, maybe, like, April, like, around April 20th. And then really after that, straight to L.A. you know, but it was a little different this year because like I said, like I got hurt. So I couldn't really do much those first like few weeks in LA. So like I really like started to get going in May, you know, and then, you know, you put get your work in, like make sure you're ready for these draft workouts. And after that, it's an all go. You travel to all these cities for all these workouts.
Yeah. What was Portsmouth like? I know it's like in mid-April. You mentioned Virginia. I watched a few of those games. I seen some of the stats. You did your thing. What's it like showing NBA teams? Obviously, you said you end up getting hurt, but a lot of NBA teams, I feel like it's kind of a weird. And the team names are weird as hell. Like, it's like some car insurance name. I'm like,
I still don't like know. Like, I think they're trying to like promote like different like companies like in this in their city, basically. Yeah. But yeah, I'm not like too sure about that. But I mean, it was cool. You know, it's a great experience in terms of like showcasing like your game for like college seniors and like to that's stuff like you obviously can't take for granted. And I was just blessed to have that opportunity. Really,
what was the feedback maybe you received from NBA teams just throughout this?
Throughout the pre-draft, I think that they really want to see if I could like shoot it, and then like they want to see me like handle it more, you know, like see me like more like make more decision, you know, like and then athletically just like, you know, be quicker on your feet, like be more of an athlete, all that kind of, you know, the NBA game like can kind of fit more into that mode.
Yeah. Any specific NBA guys like you kind of model your game after? You're like, I kind of see myself at this archetype or something like that.
I mean, I wouldn't say I like kind of model my game after really like any NBA guys. I kind of like trying to like watch a little bit of everyone.
Yeah.
And like kind of like create like my own, you know, like I watch like how aggressive like someone like Ben is, like, right? Ben Mathurin, like how like he's able to like come off the bench, you know, like mentally sometimes it's tough. Like he might not play the fourth quarter, you know, he might not get a lot of minutes and all of a sudden he gets in and, you know, like straight buckets, you know, like we know how Ben is. Like, I like watch how Lou plays defense. Andrew Nembhard like plays defense and like play makes and, you know, is able to make decision off the catch and with the ball in his hands. You know, I watch guys like Najee Marshall, who's able to like get in there and like shoot those little like floaters because that's kind of what I do too. I watch like how someone like Dylan Brooks, you know, is able to like get in the paint and like be more like physical and like, you know, like be more of that, like the toughness guy defensively. You know, I watch a lot of basketball. I watch like everyone, you know, like star players, like world players. Like I try to like take like a little bit of everything out of everyone and just put it into my games.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on just the NBA season? Like the two teams, I feel like Indiana kind of wasn't like a team that everyone expected, but their style of play, moving the ball, running the floor. Like, what are your thoughts on it? And, just thoughts on the finals match. I feel like we got a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually obviously blessed to like go to Butler, and Butler is like maybe like 10 to 15 minutes from downtown. So I've been to a couple games, like Pacers game, like, you know, like Ben would get me tickets or a couple people on our staff would get us tickets. So I've been able to get a chance to be in a couple games, and it's really like popping how they play a lot of people, like a lot of like people that could like come in and like defend, dribble, pass and shoot, and they want to play fast. So that's kind of like how I see the league trending. You know, we can see how deep OKC is. Like you have to have like a lot of guys that can like, that could just hoop really. Like that's how I see it. And to me, that's how I fit in that mode.
Yeah. You mentioned Ben getting your tickets. You guys really tap in like that, huh?
Yeah.
What advice did those guys give you any advice? Lou Dort, Ben Mathurin, like throughout the whole cycle or anything like that?
No, yeah, they did. You know, just it's really about like being confident in who you are as a player and being able to defend at a high level and just be yourself, really. Like be aggressive and be yourself. That was kind of the main message for both.
Yeah. Because Lou Dort went undrafted. Went the G League round and earned his win. I look at him, man. He's tough, man. What was it like seeing Shea win MVP? Canadian guy.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, you know, and pretty cool for Canada. Pretty cool for Shea, obviously, and his family. And shout out to him. You know, he can say right now that he's the best player in the world.
Yeah. Any interest for you playing for Canada? I know you obviously played Global Jam, but in the future, any interest in that?
For sure. I still feel like I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
But for sure, you know, I've always, I've loved like representing like Canada, like on a basketball court. Like, I take pride in that. And then, you know, if in the future there's a possibility to do it, let's do it.
Yeah. Last few questions before I let you go. I know you're busy, man. We I'm not gonna give out the location good, that we at, it's but we good. We had an undisclosed hotel in Vegas.
Yeah.
I studied here. This hotel, man, not my hotel. Yeah, I don't know. They got y'all living on a different budget, man. Yeah, it's, I'm trying to get like this
pretty
eventually.
Pretty cool vibe for sure.
Yeah. How do you see your game just translating to the NBA level?
I think my game is kind of what the NBA is about right now. You know, come in, defend at a high level, and being able to like catch, shoot, drive, and make a decision, and you know, just play off of like other people, having like being able to compliment like other people, and just, you know, just really just be a hooper. Like, that's kind of how I see it. Like, you know, like that's what the NBA is like. I feel like it's going towards too, like playing a lot of guys, you know, like, and just having hoopers. And that's kind of how I see my game translate for sure.
Yeah. Summer League, obviously, what are you looking to show teams now just in this week and a half long process?
Just who I am for sure. Like, who I am as a player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting just to watch it. Your journey. Obviously, we talk about Northwestern to Butler, Montreal. How would you just sum up your whole basketball journey? Probably a tough one, huh?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say a lot of growth, development, and mental toughness, for sure.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe it.
Yeah. My guy, can't thank you enough, Jamil.
Appreciate you.
What's one thing maybe people that don't know about you that you're like, y'all should know about? Any music you listen to, tapped in, that I should...
I listen to everything, yeah? Man. I listen to everything.
I have been asking people this. Roddy Ricch, what are your thoughts on Roddy Ricch?
Roddy Ricch? I mess with Roddy Ricch.
Okay.
I mean...
Don't do that.
That album, that first album, that like...
That was legendary.
That was...
He'll make a comeback.
I still listen to it. Okay. Like, I still listen to it to this day. Like, I love that song with Dirk. Yeah. I love a couple of songs after that album. And he has one coming out in a little bit, right?
I'm waiting
to see what he got.
I'm
really tapped in on music now.
Yeah. Anybody else you listen to? You
listen to Drake.
Pre-game.
Drake, Doug. Yeah. Doug Gunna.
Yeah.
Future. You know, all those like rappers I listen to. But I also like, I'll tap in a little bit on that Afrobeat side, like the Burna Boys and all the Wizkid, all those guys too. Like,
you gonna be outside for Carabana?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. We'll see about that.
Well, what's the next few weeks or like months look like for you, obviously preparing for the next stage?
Really after Summer League, like a little bit of rest.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta go back to Indy, but a little bit of rest. And then after that, just getting back in the gym.
Yeah. Last question for you. Biggest advice. I know there's some players that might be listening to this and seeing your journey, be like, I want to be the next Jamil Telfer. What's your biggest advice for them?
You got to be your biggest believer. You know, if you don't believe, you'll never achieve it. Always got to believe. If you believe it, you can do it.
Perfectly said, Jamil Telfer. I can't thank you, my brother, enough for joining this podcast and chatting with me, man. If you guys don't know, you guys got to tap into him. I feel like we're going to be seeing a lot of Jamil in the future. So, especially with the Canadian national team, I'm going to hold you to that, man, in the future, man. I'm going to need you to suit up.
For sure.
My guy, Jamil, can't thank you enough. You've been listening to the Canadian Basketball Show, the go-to spot for the latest news stories and analysis on Canadian basketball. With my guy, Jamil, Lee Ban, we out.